Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Grasim Industries Limited Q3 FY21 earnings conference call. We have with us today from the management, Mr. Dilip Gaur, Managing Director, Mr. Kalyan Ram, CEO, Global Chemicals and Group Business Head, Fertilizers and Insulators, Mr. Jayant Dua, Chief Executive Officer, Chemical Division, and Mr. Ashish Adukia, CFO. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Adukia. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon to all the participants. Year 2020 was a dramatic year, with businesses witnessing a sharp dip followed by an equally sharp recovery, which was led by monetary and fiscal stimulus, coupled with a rebound in consumer confidence. This is also reflected in our results. Before I get into the results, I would like to highlight certain significant developments that we have already announced. Grasim is on its path of a strategic transformation. In the last few quarters, we announced strategic decisions like sale of fertilizer business, partnership with Lubrizol, and entry into the paints business. We are very excited as we potentially imbibe more growth, which makes us positive about the future direction of the company. Let me briefly update you about the progress on these initiatives. On fertilizer, we have received CCI approval and NOC from stock exchanges. We have filed our scheme with NCLT, and we are well within the timeline of consummating the transaction that we indicated earlier. On paints, for the benefits of audience, I'll reiterate what we said in the previous call, that our foray into paints is a strategic portfolio choice. Entry into this B2C business will provide scale and growth to the existing portfolio of the company and at the same time reduce cyclicality. Within paints, decorative paints will be our focus area. We've committed to an initial CapEx amount of 5,000 crore over a three-year period. We are in the process of seeking shareholder approval and key steps in executing our strategic plan in paints will commence thereafter. We will share updates with you periodically post completion of material milestones. As of now, I would direct you to refer to the transcript of our previous investor call for further details, as there's no further update from that call. On our CapEx of current businesses, all our CapEx are progressing well, and we are scheduled to meet the commissioning timeline of VSF project in two phases in quarter two and quarter three of FY22. For chemicals, all the three projects will commence by quarter one FY22. In terms of operational performance, Q3 FY21 has been a strong quarter, with all our key businesses reporting robust operational performance and financial performance, and we have simultaneously deleveraged our balance sheet. At consolidated level, the company reported best-ever EBITDA and PAT numbers. Likewise, our standalone financial performance demonstrated a strong rebound. Our VSF plants operated at 100% capacity utilization throughout Q3, and the utilization of VF5 plants touched 89% in December 2020, and for the quarter, it stood at 77%. The VSF demand in India recovered to pre-COVID levels, with the share of domestic sales in the overall sales mix expanding to 91% in quarter three from 82% in quarter two. The share of value-added products in our overall sales mix improved to 22% in quarter three from 15% in quarter two. The uptick in the VSF price has been driven by strong revival in domestic demand, primarily in the tier two and three towns and rural areas, supported by festive and wedding seasons. The Chinese VSF realizations maintain an upward trend and averaged RMB 10,500 in quarter three, up 23% sequentially. And in Jan, the prices has further climbed to about 13,800 level. Favorable interfiber dynamics with widening gap between cotton and VSF led to reduction in inventory levels and higher operating rates. The VSF plant inventory in China moderated from 23 days in September to about 10 days in January. The viscose business reported best ever financial performance in the last too many quarters with revenue of 2,145 crore and EBITDA of 482 crore in quarter three. The viscose EBITDA witnessed a significant 89% increase YOY. For the VFY business within the viscose segment, the revenue was 436 crore and EBITDA was 97 crore in quarter three. The chlor-alkali capacity utilization touched 89% in quarter three, a 9% improvement in utilization rate sequentially. Revenue and EBITDA of chemicals business touched the pre-COVID levels with pickup in sales volume and further supported by lower input costs, especially in power. The continued weakness in ECU realization impacted the EBITDA. The caustic soda prices in CFR terms in Asia, however, recovered a tad from the lows of $239 per metric ton to about $270 per metric ton. The demand for chlorine VAP, value-added products, witnessed some weakness from the health and hygiene segment, along with some softness in the realization. But at the same time, in the chemical segment, the epoxy business witnessed a strong demand from forest products from auto and consumer durables. On the standalone basis, excluding the discontinued operations of fertilizer, as we have signed the agreement out there, our revenues and EBITDA for quarter three stood at 3,672 crore and 709 crore respectively. EBITDA reported an improvement of 53% YOY. Our PAT for the quarter nearly doubled YOY basis to 359 crore in quarter three. The revenue and EBITDA from the discontinued operations of fertilizer for Q3 stood at 597 crore and 57 crore. So if you had, theoretically added 57 crore of fertilizer EBITDA to the standalone EBITDA, our EBITDA would have been at 766 crore. But the accounts is all adjusted for fertilizer being excluded line by line and only included before PAT as a specific item. Owing to lower capex and better cost management, we have been able to significantly delever our balance sheet during the 9-month period at both consolidated and standalone level. The consolidated net debt stands reduced to 12,767 crore, a 39% reduction from March levels. At a standalone basis, the net debt reduced from 2,975 crore in March to 2,093 crore in December. And this will get further strengthened with the proceeds coming from the fertilizer sale. Our focus on sustainability-related initiatives are getting recognized at the global level. We are committed to improve our non-financial reporting standards further going ahead. In December 2020, Grasim released its maiden integrated report. The purpose of embracing integrated reporting is to make our stakeholders aware of how all six capitals come together at Grasim to create greater value. Recently, Grasim won Investor Relations Award, being organized by Investor Relations Society in collaboration with BSE and KPMG under the category ESG Disclosures. Our VSF business won the Global Golden Peacock Award for Sustainability 2020. Our Dow Jones Sustainability Index score also witnessed a significant improvement in calendar year 20. We moved 6 ranks to 11th position in our sector. In the latest WBCSD report, Grasim Industries featured at the top among the list of companies procuring renewable power through corporate renewable PPAs in India. WISCO's business sustainability achievement has been showcased in a case study, Birla Cellular Spearheading Sustainable Fashion, which is the title, published by world's renowned Ivy publisher, and it is now available on HBS website. Finally, in terms of outlook, we expect strong tailwinds for WISCO's business with improved demand outlook, although various input costs have also started to firm up. The demand outlook for chloralkali and epoxy remains positive for the quarter. The eco realization continue to remain weak, driven by softness in the global caustic soda prices. Our inherent strength lies in our operational excellence, financial prowess, our resilient growth, and our customer centricity. And if you see the cover of our presentation for this quarter, as a conglomerate, we combine the synergy of a conglomerate and energy of focused businesses. So back to you for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Gunjan Prithyani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. That's Gunjan from JP Morgan. I just wanted to clarify on the capex thing. I see that there is a balance of about 1,000 crore yet to be spent. That is all that is all for Q4. We'll be spending. Is that understanding correct?
Yeah. So, Gunjan, that's right. 1,800 crore odd. 1825 was what was approved by the board, and for 9 months, first quarter we didn't spend any. 9 months we spent approximately 800 crores. So balance remaining approved is 1025. There is a high likelihood that some of this will spill over to quarter one of next year. So it's quite possible that we may not be able to spend the entire 1,000, but there might be some spillover to quarter one.
And have we put, do we have an assessment of how much we are looking to spend next year? I mean, keeping the paint foray aside for the core VSF and the caustic business?
So, this time of the year, as some of you may know, we go through our CapEx planning cycle. So by next quarter, we should be able to give you guidance of what will be the budget for the year that will be approved by the board. So as of now, it's under planning, and then we'll take it to the board and get it approved. And that should include all the businesses, including pens.
Okay. But is it fair to assume that the magnitude of 1,800 crores, a large part of CAPEX on the core business is being done now incrementally, a dominant part of CAPEX is going to be on the newer venture? And if, I mean, just on that line only, if you can also, tell us the consummation of this deal, fertilizer, when do we expect the money to come in?
Sure. So on the first part, Gunjan, unfortunately at this stage we are in the planning stage, so for me to give any guidance on the CAPEX will be very difficult, as we are collecting all the figures and then we will internally go through them and then take it to the board, and there may be changes there as well. So I won't be able to give you that guidance. The major CAPEX of Vilayat, of course, from BSF perspective will be done. So there is no major CAPEX in BSF after that. In chemicals, there are multiple projects, as you know, that goes on, unlike Vilayat, which is one large project that we were putting up. So in chemicals, it's always difficult to give the CAPEX, such CAPEX guidance. On the fertilizer sale, when we announced the transaction, we gave a guidance of about 9 months. So somewhere around June, July is what we expect it should get over. And we are expecting the timeline to be around that, looking at the development of what has happened with the regulatory approvals. So as of now, fingers crossed, we are hoping that June we should be able to culminate the transaction, and therefore we will get our funds as well.
Okay. The second question I had was on the industry, VSF industry now. Clearly a very, very sharp pricing improvement after a long time. I just wanted to understand how much of it is it is also the supply, which had gone off the market. I mean, is there any risk that, some of the capacities which were taken out of the market start to come back, given, the demand environment is improving? Just general sense on how should we think about the whole demand supply over the next 12-18 months?
Gunjan, if you look at the numbers, yeah, in fact, what you are saying has already happened. The operation rate in China, which used to be, which was a low of 65% in Q2, is now already at 80%. Now, 80-81 is a healthy utilization rate. So even at that operation rate, the inventory is coming down consistently. So what it is telling you is the demand is far outstripping the supply. And the reason for that being twofold. One is the viscose demand per se has gone up. And second, the cotton yarn price has shot up significantly globally and everywhere else. So there is a shift from cotton to viscose, and China, as you know, consumes about 8.5 million tons of cotton and produces only 6 million tons of cotton, and then they import about 2.5 million tons of cotton yarn. So they are under huge pressure because of the growing size of yarn to use more and more viscose. So, and that is what is driving the entire pricing system. So the prices are moving exponentially. Ashish mentioned it was 1.8885 as we speak in China in January. In December end, it was 1.45 or that kind of a number. So I think we are now coming to almost pre-COVID level of prices, and the demand, because the inventory has come down to 10-11 days, which is a historic low, and which is something which is a healthy inventory. So I think this is more demand-driven than supply constraint.
And there is no big capacity expected to commission on.
There's nothing coming. I think 200,000-300,000 tons, that is routine debottlenecking people do. The biggest one to come on stream is our capacity only, which I mentioned to you is only India for India.
Okay, got it. I'll join back with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sumangal Navetia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a very strong quarter. First question is on the VSF business. So one is, $1.8 versus $1.4 price. So that is the Jan and Feb. Just wanted to confirm that. And the second is on the you see the cost is also catching up and we benefit out of the lag. So if we factor in the spot prices and the spot pulp cost, what sort of margin change or spread change we will see at least directionally from what we have seen in 3Q of around 32 rupees per kg? If you can give some sense on that, it will be very helpful.
Sure. I think, you know, specific guidance on spread, we will not be able to give. But we can give you directionally the pulp price and, you know, how it has actually gone up in line with VSF price. So that you know, Dilip can give you some idea on.
If you have seen the quarter three results, what you have seen, the pulp hadn't started running up the way. So most of the increase happened after the quarter three. So pulp today, as we speak, is almost at $890 per ton. Now, pulp always follows the viscose. So unless viscose can pay, pulp cannot go up. So while you are right, the input prices are going up, but the quarter four will also see a rising price in viscose. So I thought, to my mind, delta will still remain favorable.
Understood. Well, second, with respect to the chemical business, which is still struggling, so is it possible to share some more outlook in as to how we see FY22 shaping up? Have we at this point close to the bottom as far as cycle is concerned and either should move sideways or up north in the coming quarters, especially given there's so much of capacity addition happening and the pipeline is also quite filled up?
Yeah, Jayant.
Oh, so hi. So let me put it this way, that the last couple of months what we've been seeing is more lateral movement on the caustic prices. It marginally goes up, marginally comes down. So until unless a significant demand supply scenario changes, I think we're kind of at the bottom of the cycle. Now, as you put it very correctly, that there is a substantial demand supply gap at this point of time. So we really don't see, and that even exists today. So I think this picture would be either it will do a lateral movement or it will do a marginal upward movement. I don't really see it going down subsequently until unless the demand side significantly changes.
Understood. This is very helpful. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Gaurav Rateria from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So firstly, on chemicals, any outlook on what's happening on the duties which got expired? Is it going to be reinstated? Any color on that? And from what you talked about, that it appears that it has bottomed out on margins. What exactly one should try to understand that, you know, beyond this contribution margin, you know, it will not make sense to increase supply automatically. The rebalancing of demand supply will happen.
So let's put it this way, that, you know, we're still trying to assess that, because now if we have to go back towards the Korea, China, which expired the sunset review, we have to go through the entire process of figuring out, does it again lead to injury margin when they were not supplying earlier in the past. So that's a long run process which will take its own set of time. I think the industry is working towards it to see what they do next on that. To your point on the margin front, I think the picture is going to be, as in more and more capacity utilization increases in the industry, auto, as it is today, has gone above 80% in capacity utilization. I think the margins are expected to only increase because there is enough demand in the market, both on the caustic side as well as the chlorine VAP side, plus chlorine consumption per se. So while it, you know, it's a very delicately poised position at this point of time, any demand decrease could have marginal deterioration of margins, and any upside coming could lead to an increase in margin. So it's fairly fine-tuned at this point of time. I won't get into margin guidance at this point of time because, you know, we're still in the process of ascertaining what we'll do for next year.
Just to add,
globally as chemicals. I think there is a huge rebound. I think majority of chemicals overall have recovered. We expect the coming year to be significantly on a bullish side. As Jen said, the demand is looking strong. I think we will still see that we are at the bottom end of the cycle, and we will continue to have a similar level of a kind of a lower level pricing for the coming few months. One thing you need to know is there has not been any significant capacity increase anywhere else in the world. Predominant capacity increases have been in India only. So as Jen said, as and when the capacities start to be utilized further, we should see both from a global perspective as well as an India perspective, we will start to see a rebound. So I think we are waiting, just like you, we are waiting for the coming months.
Sure. Secondly, on VSF, given that the margins are so lucrative, prices have gone up so much, do you think that there can be new supply which can come in? And even if it happens, how long does it take for the new supply to really come in and get commissioned and start producing output in the market?
If you're talking of cooking for new plant, it is anywhere between 24 to 30, but more than like 30 months to 36 months, 2.5 to 3 years.
Okay. And lastly, a question on capital allocation for Ashish. Bulk of the organic capex will get funded by internal accruals given the cycle has turned. Maybe we'll lever up the balance sheet to fund the investments in the paint business. From a medium-term 2 to 3 year perspective, are there any potential investments over and above the paints which one should keep in mind, either from a group company's point of view or any other organic investments? Thank you.
Yes. So, see, what we see today as we stand, there is capital demand from viscose continuing. There is chemicals. When I say chemicals, it's chemicals and some of the other sectors like insulator and VFI. So our standalone businesses, paints will be another one. Now, given all the capital demands from all these, okay, it is substantial enough for Grasim to take care from its internal accruals, and we'll of course take debt to meet the requirement. So it's highly unlikely that there will be capital infusion or investments into any of the subsidiaries or JVs or associates or anything of that sort. Except, of course, solar, as we increase the capacity, the equity infusion is done by Grasim, and equity is always a smaller portion out there. We generally fund it through out there. So that would be the broad capital allocation plan for Grasim.
So, Ashish, does it also include the outlook for financial services, like from a no requirement from a subsidiary or joint venture when you mentioned?
Yeah, so as of now, as we stand, financial services, we've already infused to equity a year back. So we don't anticipate a requirement to come for some time. But, financial services needs to be treated differently than other associate companies, etc., because it's a growing entity, it's delivering double-digit growth in its financials, and we would like to maintain consolidating stake out there. So if it's a big dilution event out there, and if we want to maintain the stake so that it is value accretive for Grasim shareholders as well, we may infuse capital there. But that's a very, a framework that I'm talking about. Okay, there is absolutely no plan, and there has been no proposal from financial services also that has come to us for any capital infusion.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Amit Murarka from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Good afternoon. I just wanted to check on these expansions, the caustic 300 KTPA and even the VSF about 200 to 220 KTPA. When is the expected commissioning now of these expansions?
So on the caustic side, like Ashish put it, we expect by the end of quarter one of next financial year, a large portion of the caustic capacity would be more or less up.
Okay. And how will be the ramp-up of the same?
So it'll be a slow ramp-up. Looking at any manufacturing process, I think by the time it reaches the industry level capacity utilization, it will take the balance part of the year.
So end of FY22, you're saying that it will be a normal utilization level?
Yes.
And also the VSF?
VSF, the first line will come in quarter two and the second will come in quarter three. And normally it takes about 3 to 4 months for a full ramp up. So the VSF, the demand is there. It's all up to us to how fast we stabilize the plant. So based on the past experience, should be doable in 3 to 4 months time.
So, when like in the VSF ramp up, will the export share go up, or
as we speak, the domestic demand is really very high. We are not able to service all the demand. That's why you have to cut exports. So keeping the healthy level of export which we have always been keeping, I think we should be able to sell quite a bit of it in the domestic market. As we speak, there's a lot of yarn still gets imported into India, which is slowly coming down, and that demand will come to the fiber. So we expect a very healthy demand for the fiber at least in FY22. Yeah.
And just one more question on China. Like 2 years back when Sateri had done that big expansion, what I understand that there was a plan to expand that further actually later. So have you heard of any development on that second phase of expansion there?
No, I think maybe your information, it's all hearsay. There's nothing on the piece of paper, but the announcement they have made is about the lyocell. Suddenly, Sateri is saying that they will put up a 500,000 tons lyocell plant in China. If you look at the number, Lenzing, which has started lyocell 30 years back, is right now at about 250,000 tons per annum. So he is saying I'll become double the size of Lenzing in next 4 to 5 years. So, to my mind, their focus right now is a lyocell plant in China, and they are trying to debottleneck like all of us existing plants. So that everybody will do. When the market goes well, everyone starts to debottleneck their pipeline. So few tons you can always get from existing pipelines, existing production line.
Okay, sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Nirav Jimudia from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, I have a two-part question. So one is on the chlorine VAPs, which you mentioned in the presentation that the EBITDAs have improved by almost 45% on a YOY basis. But if you can give some sense in terms of how it has performed on a Q-on-Q basis, given the weakness in the realizations, that would be helpful. And if you can give some sense in terms of even the epoxy side, so how it has performed on a Q-on-Q basis in terms of some percentages, that would be helpful. So this is the first question, sir.
Jayant, would you like to give some direction of VAP?
Yeah, so on the, see, let me put it this way. The chlorine consumption in India at the moment is fairly robust.
Correct.
I think that's a big positive for us. The chlorine demand is now growing at a fairly rapid clip. It is actually growing faster than the caustic demand, which again gives it a positive tick mark going forward. Now, in the early part of the pandemic year, you know, you had a huge surge of requirement of VAPs, particularly on the hygiene and sanitation part, which gave a very robust EBITDA growth to the VAP products in that segment, of which we are the leaders. Now, as the pandemic has slowly got into control, the demand for those VAPs have now come back to the earlier levels, which is business as usual, and obviously has led to certain softening of prices, although still maintaining a positive EBITDA. So our VAPs EBITDA is very healthy. I will not get into numbers. on that particular front, and we expect that they will continue to remain healthy as we go forward, because there is an intrinsic behavior change of sanitation which is coming to the country and the world per se.
Okay.
So if I would tick mark, I would say chlorine demand, great, doing very well, growing at a good clip. VAP on hygiene sanitation have upped their base level and are doing well. And the balance comes with seasonal VAPs, particularly as the rainfall comes, so the water sanitation demand goes up. As aquaculture comes, then those product goes up. So I think we are fairly well placed on our VAP side to continuously seeing a robust growth, both on the volume side and a healthy EBITDA.
Okay. And sir, on epoxy, like last quarter, we have given some indications in terms of our performance, some quantitative numbers also. But even if you can't describe the quantitative numbers, you can give some percentage growth in EBITDA or something like that, that would be helpful.
So see, I think, epoxy business, first of all, in the last quarter was still on a ramp up phase, okay, coming out of COVID, etc.
Correct.
But in quarter three, you enjoyed the benefit of volume, and that came from auto sector as well as consumer sector. So there were actually three advantages really that epoxy business had. One is the volume pickup that happened in quarter three. Second, the realization also went up in epoxy. And the third is that epoxy is in a way a pass-through business. Okay. So the raw material that they import, most of it, it's mainly a pass-through to the customer. So it has to be looked at from conversion basis. So if you make volume, you make that contribution per ton.
Correct.
But, there is some advantage that we got in epoxy due to the lag again of raw material prices. So we still had the inventory of some older inventory of ECH and BPA, which is at lower cost, which helped us with that small timing gap benefit that we had out here. So epoxy has actually performed much better than Q2 as well as on YOY basis, hopefully it will continue to do so in this quarter as well.
Okay. So second is on a slightly strategic one. So in terms of if we see our sales of VSF, it's like around 142,000 tons as we have mentioned in the presentation. So if we make some breakups in terms of value added as well as the gray value added, we have sold almost close to 31,000-32,000 tons. So as per what we have been trying to calculate it based on some backward numbers, it seems like out of our broad category of value-added products like Modal, Excel, Flame Retardant, Doctite, it seems that less premium products as compared to gray is sold more in this quarter. So if you can give some sense in terms of how this mix moves in this quarter as well as on a yearly basis, if you can give some sense on that.
You want me to respond?
Yeah, sure, Dilip, please.
I think, in a way, you are right. There are four value-added products we have.
Correct.
Then we had Modal.
Yeah.
We have Excel.
Yeah.
We have got the recent one, Levi Eco.
Okay.
Now, in a way, it is a dope diet which goes in uniforms and office wear.
Thank you.
Trousers.
Correct.
And that all you all know because of the COVID and the work from home, that segment is totally dead because the schools are closed, the children are not going to the schools. So that segment is where the consumption has come down, and that's a large consumption segment.
Correct.
If you look at Modal, is a high delta, high value added product, but low volume.
Correct.
Dope diet is a high volume, but low value added product. So you may make 20-25 cents, but the volume is 300 tons per day.
Okay.
So the multiplier is much bigger.
Correct.
Now that is now reviving. As we speak now the offices are opening, people have started going out. What is being told now with the schools opening around the corner, the country will need 4 crore uniforms.
Okay.
There's going to be a huge surge in the demand for the dope dyed fiber for the uniforms.
Okay.
So we believe that is coming back.
Okay.
Modal has done very well. Modal has done exceedingly well. It has grown back and we are growing. Viva Eco is a great success story. I have told you again and again because the first time we have got a premium on a commodity viscose because of its eco-friendly.
Okay.
So that's also, that is compensating to a large extent the dope diet loss. Otherwise, I would have had a much bigger loss.
Okay.
Fourth one was the Lyocell, which got impacted in China because once the Sateri announced this plan for 500 tons per day, 500,000 tons per year plan, and he said, I will bring down the price, the same story. So the Lyocell price and demand suffered in China.
Okay.
It was more emotional response to Sateri's announcement.
Got it.
People realize that it doesn't happen like this. It takes years to build those kinds of volumes.
Correct.
So we are now seeing in Q4 quite a good uptick in Lyocell demand.
Okay.
So I think the number what you have computed is on upward trend. So as she said, 13% went to 22%, trend will go much further up in Q4.
Absolutely. So sir, a related question to this. So it is safe to assume that we sell more of Modal XL in the domestic market more than in the export market?
Modal and XL is largely export market.
Okay.
Because we are growing it now. We have grown very well in last three to four months.
Yeah.
I have tried to shift a lot of domestic users who are importing to our product.
Correct.
And cotton, shifting from cotton to Lyocell because the price today is very favorable.
Correct.
We have done that role. Dope diet is largely India driven. We are the biggest in the world.
Okay.
That's how it is. So.
Okay. And sir, in terms of our competition also, if we see like our biggest competitor is having some 280,000 tons of Modal capacity, 260,000 tons of Lyocell capacity. So,
not so much. 300 tons per packet. 300, lending us 300 tons per day capacity, right?
Yes, sir. Ballpark.
300 to 360 is how much?
Yes, sir.
Not so much. They can't make more Modal.
Okay.
We have got almost similar. We have added our Modal capacity overseas, not here, but I think we can make good amount of Modal now.
So, sir, when they try to penetrate in Indian market and when we try to fight against them, so what all parameters score? So, like, one is, like, if we try to rate them in terms of, let's say, first is the distribution network, one is the post-sale services which we provide to the customers, third is the quality, and fourth is the price. So, which all parameters we would like, or we actually compete with them in the domestic market when they come and sell their products into India?
The specialty is a very different ballgame.
Okay.
There are only three parameters there.
Okay.
The foremost is the qualifying parameter, which is nomination.
Okay.
Because most of the specialty goes into brands.
Okay.
So brand nominate that I want of this. They certify a fabric.
Okay.
Because they do trials, they make garments, because they don't want the customer to have a different experience.
Okay.
So every time you make a, it's not like commodity viscose you can buy from XYZ, but a specialty Modal, even if my quality may be as good as my competition.
Yeah.
But that customer has to first use my Modal, make the product, try with the customer, get the feedback and then nominate me.
Okay.
So the whole effort, why it takes time is the nomination cycle, which can be anywhere from 6 months to 2 years.
Okay.
So that is where the biggest differentiator. So because Lenzing, the competition had a head start.
Yeah.
They had more nominations because they are European customers. We are getting those nominations and as we get the nomination, our volume keeps growing.
Right.
That's the biggest change. Once the nomination is there, quality is a qualifying condition. It's all same. So they all the same quality.
Okay.
So the price. So price becomes number two. Even if I offer a lower price, if there's no nomination, nobody will buy it.
Okay.
So these are the parameters.
Okay. And post-sale service is also a parameter because probably you would have more distribution network in India than the competitor and that also helps.
These are by nature niche products. They are less low volume, high price. So service is more important for a product like viscose.
Okay.
Because I mean, you can't default on the customer order. You have to supply in time. But it is not the key element.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
It's a very important element for the mass viscose. That's where we score over. And you are a local producer, you are supplying local customers, you give just-in-time, you give technical service, you help them troubleshoot their plants, you help them with their productivity. It's a big differentiator for the market, of course.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks for all the explanations. Very helpful. All the very best, sir.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Sanjeev Kumar Singh from Systematix Shares. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my question is related to the previous question. What I'm saying is that in VSF, our realized growth is only 9% QOQ, when in international market the prices are up by 20%. So is it because of higher share of sales in the domestic market, or can we expect higher prices increases going forward?
I don't know. Would you like to?
No, actually, see, this is little bit competitive sensitive information to talk about how much increase is expected in the domestic prices from now. I think it suffice to say that there has been increase in the global prices, and in line with that, India prices have also gone up. It may not have gone up as much as the international prices. We have to take care. One of our ingredients and inherent strength that I talked about earlier is our customer centricity. So we have to discuss and make sure that we react to price increases in a calibrated way along with customers. So, Dilip, if you want to add anything to...
I think you rightly said, because I think we have been saying this on the time and again on the call, we do not blindly follow the global prices. It's our... We believe that the health of the value chain is very important, domestic value chain. You can take a price increase as long as the domestic value chain, the weaver in the system, the spinner in the system can withstand that. So we always, the global price is a bench, is a base. But what you actually do is also to make sure that there is a health of the value chain is maintained. So what was happening, there's a lot of yarn imports happening into the country in quarter three and quarter two. So to make sure that the imports don't happen and our spinners get the opportunity to service that market, we decide on the price increase in sync with that principle. So it will follow, but it follows in a calibrated manner.
Okay, sir, got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Sanjeev.
Because you see, you have two, the price and volume. You can get one and you destroy other, doesn't make sense. So you must have both the multipliers with you.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Prateek Kumar from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on CAPEX. So, I mean, a couple of years back, we announced this large CAPEX plan of 7,500 crore or 7,800 crore, which you used to mention in our presentation. So, how much of that, in FY20 and 21, I believe around 4,700 CAPEX would have been done. So, another 3,000 left. And are there significant savings which they have done on that number, which we gave, a couple of years back?
No, so, see, I think when we gave a number of 7,500, okay, it was multiple projects, and since then, the estimates have undergone change. Broadly, it remains the same, but it's, the estimates can be, few dollars here and there, okay. But broadly, my guidance to you on CapEx would be to actually focus on what we give in the next quarter, rather than trying to figure out through the balance figure that is left. Though my guess is that the number that may come out will be around the balance figure over next 2 years, right? So that's what it should come out. That's been the history, if you see, of Grasim, where the numbers of CapEx tends to be around 2,500, somewhere around that range. But very, very, like I told, I think in the earlier question as well, it's best to wait until the plan is approved by the board.
Okay. And secondly, on fixed costs, we had several cost savings on fixed costs in Q2. Have that all some of those which are not sustainable, have they all come back, or some of them can still come back in Q4?
No, so I think our approach to fixed cost was different. We attacked fixed cost to actually have sustainable savings in the fixed cost, rather than just because of COVID, everyone enjoyed fixed cost, so we also did so. So the fixed cost saving has continued in quarter three as well. And if YOY basis, there is a double digit reduction in the fixed cost savings as well. So there are conscious programs that we've run to reduce the fixed cost.
And just one last question on VSS spread. So our spread, like the way we have exited this quarter, so can it likely cross our previous highs which we did in Q1 19 in Q4, given the sharp increase in domestic price, and I think even in Q4 and
But all one can say is the demand is healthy and trends are good. That's all.
Sure. Thanks and all.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Bhavin Chheda from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good set of numbers. Just on the capex, since there is a bit confusion, so VSS, sir, we are largely completing 0.8 million by first half, and chemicals also we are largely completing by quarter one, except for that 73,000 phase two, which will take time. And your slide says your pending capex is 1,000 crores. So over and above this, for completing this VSF and chemical announced expansion, there would be some number in FY22. That's the number only left, right? And is this a substantial number, or it is less than 2,000 crores?
So, I said that it's difficult to give that guidance. In terms of expansions in VSF, it'll be over. So, unlikely that the number will be large capex coming out of VSF. In chemicals, there are multiple projects. There are VAP projects that there are power saving projects which they may want to take, and it's a multi-locational business. Okay, so it's always difficult to say what the capex there would be. So I would still encourage that, and then we have to also look at paints, etc. Right? So we have to.
No, I'm saying it's a non-paint business. Only the current business, VSF and chemical, which is getting largely completed in first half. Paints, we understand there was a separate call, and it would be more.
My point is different. Yeah. My point is that now we have commitment towards paints as well. So we have to look at the overall picture and overall number as well. So we can't keep looking at things individually, because then we have to see how much the balance sheet of Grasim can support without us breaching certain levels of net debt to EBITDA, etc. So therefore, I'm suggesting that let's look at the number in the next quarter for the capex.
And so earlier you said that this VSF incremental capacity, which is coming in, just takes 3 to 4 months to overall stabilize. So this incremental over 219,000 should have a full blow in second half of FY22, because based the demand situation is, the market is already there. It's how much you churn out from your production line. So if all goes well, that incremental 219 can be available at optimum in second half. Is that assumption correct?
No, it will come in phases. The first line is coming in quarter two, so that can possibly be available if all goes well for two quarters. But the second is coming in quarter three. So if all goes well, you will get for one quarter full blast. The rest all will be partial.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Madhav Marthov from Fidelity Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, so good evening, and thank you so much for your time. I just wanted a quick update from you on the CPVC project that we had announced. Any updates on the timeline there? And I understand that the CapEx there will be quite limited to negligible from Grasim side. But in terms of the management fees or however the contract would be, how much of an EBITDA contribution can one expect from that project?
Sure. So on the CapEx front, Kalyan, would you like to give that update? I think on EBITDA front, we've said last time also that will be part of the VAP EBITDA. We're not giving out a specific number out there, like we don't give for each component in chemicals what a number is. So, but I had also said, and I'll repeat, that the what we'll get as EBITDA per ton of chlorine, if you look at that measure out there, then it is likely to be better than the blended EBITDA per ton of chlorine that we get today from our VAPs that we produce. So that may give you that idea that it is better and it's high in terms of profitability. Kalyan, would you like to give
of these projects? So when we established this alliance partnership, I think we had three things in mind. One was a full-fledged chlorine integration with a player, of world-class player. We wanted to bring world-class technology, and we would then automatically have a certain fixed margin to ourselves. And three, we will be indirectly linked to a segment which is growing fastest and environmentally friendlier. I think those were the three criteria. So as Ashish already said, the chlorine integration and then related other utilities, effluents and related byproducts that come in, there is a value to it. We can't share in that sense because each product is quite different and we don't go into that kind of that level of detail. We also have within the partnership and alliance a certain fixed margins and that is another one which we get value from. As of now, the project discussions have started. I think the teams are working on layout and designing. I think we are on track with what we said we would do in terms of the timeline. Yep. Anything else, James, you want to add?
No, I think you're right. Sum it up, Kalyan, that in terms of the project timeline, you know, there is a lot of back and forth which is happening in terms of how to expedite, and the change in engineering is happening in the back end, and discussions are happening like on the layout to see how soon can we get the plant running up and running. But yes, if you ask me, it will take another about 24 to 30 odd months before we will see physical production commencing.
I think one thing which I want to leave with is these are the types of alliances and partnerships you would see more of from Grasim, where world-class technologies come in. We will leverage on the capabilities of manufacturing in India and Atmanirbhar Bharat. And we also want to invest in capacities which is not for India alone, but for globally. And hence, even these capacities that we are investing is, you know, the globally the largest in two phases. So that intent will continue more of, and this is, I believe, and hopefully, if all goes well, the starting point of many. Thanks.
Understood. Okay. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sanjay Parekh from Nippon India Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations to the team. Great set of numbers. So, you know, one of these questions just Kalyan answered, which I had of, can there be more of such alliances like the one you had with Lubrizol? So that is answered, but in case you want to expand on that, of what potential, there is it's a win-win wherein the chlorine can be used for value-added products, we get a fixed type of revenues, and it reduces the cyclicality of the business. So that piece, if we can get more elaboration, it will help. If not, it's okay. The second is for Ashish. I was just seeing, so if we take the debt right now at 2,090 crores and we are supposed to get money for the fertilizer plant and 1,000 crores plus for to be spent in fourth quarter. If I take the next 3 year broadly cash profit that we make, and this is assuming that we make steady state like what we will have in Q3, Q4, then even if we invest into the paint, the entire 5,000 crores, we would actually, and we spend 2,000 crores capex, let's say for 22 and 23, then in the next 3-year time frame, our debt would actually not go up beyond 1,500 crores. That's the calculation I'm coming to. Am I right? I mean, it does have one assumption that the EBITDA that we see would be steady, which is a big assumption. But if that is the case, then the debt actually doesn't go up. It will remain in the range of 1,500 crores for the next. In the interim, they might go up, but by and large, it remains in that band in the next 3 years. Am I right in this, or am I going wrong?
Yeah, so just let me add one last bit regarding overall capabilities. I think we have two large businesses in chemicals. One is much more linked to petrochemicals like epoxy resins. We now call it advanced materials. And the other is chloralkali, which is the foundation and a core raw material in an inorganic segment. But overseas, these petrochemical inorganic and organic complexes are integrated. We haven't yet leveraged, so we are thinking how the next stage of things, how these things become more of integrated complexes. So that in that area, we see a lot of potential for partnership and alliances. We also not only think of alliances and partnerships on that end, but also integrating chloralkali and advanced materials and then downstream. So we see a lot of opportunities, so hopefully some things will materialize in future. Over to you, Ashish.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, so I think, you know, the calculation, you know, seems, it's again, a little difficult to say what the debt level 3 years down line will be, because it has basically, you can say, three components to it, right? One is EBITDA, okay, for the next 3 years. So I can give you a directional view of how you can calculate. So EBITDA, you have to make an assumption that Grasim EBITDA, you know, this year is not so relevant because you lost two quarters, right? But quarter three, quarter four would be more representative of EBITDA out here. And then there's an expansion that will finish next year for both. So you can take second half for both expansions to come through. So there's an expanded EBITDA of Grasim that should be taken. Then there is Grasim's own capex, right, which, you know, you can take maintenance plus the projects that we will tell you about, but you can take a broad number out there. Okay, for your, that's your own assumption, because we are not giving any guidance there. Then it comes to the paints EBITDA, which can be negative for few initial years. Okay, and this paints capex, right, that we have given as of now. So these are the 3-4 components you have to put together. Now, after EBITDA, also there are tax outflows, there are dividend outflows, there are, you know, other things also that go out, okay, interest, etc., which probably you've not taken into your account. So if you do this broad calculation, you should be able to get some idea of your own estimate of what the debt level would be.
Sure, sure. No, I did look at cash profit and, of course, the dividends. But what I do is I call you offline and dividend. Thank you. Thank you very much.
But Ashish, your biggest guidance is that the debt EBITDA you will control. So you will never let the debt go beyond the limit.
Yeah. No, absolutely right. You know, we gave that guidance last time also, that we maintain a threshold that we focus on, which should be 3 to maybe 3.25, something of that sort. And we don't want to, we wouldn't like to breach that.
Sure, sure. Thank you very much.
And one more thing which we can be quantified, but we have been saving a lot of cash on the working capital side, which is an ongoing exercise. It keeps on happening year on year.
Yeah.
A lot of cash business goes to working capital control also.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of K.U. Rasher from PNB MetLife. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for this opportunity. I think most of my questions have been answered. So just if you could offer any comment on any potential investment that could be required on the telecom side of the business?
No, nothing at all. We've got our priorities at the standalone business for which funds are required.
So we don't envisage any near-term investment on that side?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the floor back to Mr. Ashish Adukia for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Great questions on back of an excellent performance in Q3. We hope that this continues. We'll connect with you guys with more clarity on, CapEx and paints, etc., perhaps in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Grasim Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.